Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Kevin Obi, how you doing, darling?
and my friends in Pakistan and Peru, Wayne Disco in Australia, my friends in Singapore, France, and Iraq. Thank all of y'all for tuning in on a Friday evening. But before I, you know, get started with my show and my guests, I first want to give a shout out to South Carolina, Lawrence County. Baby, 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 I was up there for the week, man. The grits and the slab bacon, they know how to do it right, and they got a place up there called A Taste of Home. They was kicking it with the food. I enjoy it. But you know something, if you decide to run out on the bill, or you ride through that town too fast and you get a ticket and you need a lawyer, I got one for you. His name is William G. Mayer, 118 West Main Street in Lawrence, South Carolina. If you want to give him a phone number, call him at 864-984-9202, because this brother, he'll tell you a story while he bail your behind out of jail. So, you know, if you need a good one, this brother can do it. He had me cracking all the way home. So, you know, if you're driving through Lawrence County, please stop by and give a shout-out to this brother. You know, he do criminal law. He do all kinds of stuff. I don't know his whole pedigree, but, you know, just ask him what he do. But, you know, tonight is our final show with our special guest, Joseph, because this brother, he has the ability, and he is blessed enough that he is regularly visited by the Mary Magdalene, and he had been visited by the Virgin Mary, Christ's mother. So, you know, that is something else. So if you want to talk to this brother or ask a question, please dial 347-945-6003 and hit the one key, because if you don't hit the one key, I think you just want to sit in the cut and lay low. So, you know, before I bring him on, I got to bring my special honeys on, and we're going to go by the youngest first. How you doing, Strawberry?
I'm good. How are you?
Baby, I'm ready to go. You know, so I'm ready to go. My wheels are turning.
I know that.
And how's that beautiful Felicia?
I'm great. Just sitting here watching your wheels turn while mine turn too.
We're going to do this thing. And so we might as well add to the mix our handsome guest. How you doing, Joseph?
Hi, Terry. I'm doing great. Hi, Strawberry, Tanisha.
Hi, Joseph.
Hey.
We always like when we got a man on the show. And you know, my friend Don Darje, he's saying that he might want to be a part of the co-host panel. So, you know, girls, we got to bring him in, you know, because getting a man on the show will be add a little something to the flavor. But anyway, I know we stopped last time, didn't we, ladies? We was talking about how Joseph had got molested. Didn't we stop there?
We stopped there.
Okay. Well, for the sake of the listeners, Joseph, can you give us a little rundown about that and bring us forward, and then I'll let my ladies ask you their questions.
I'll try and do it quickly here. When I was 8, 9, 10 years old, I was very creative, reading poetry, writing poetry and prose, and memorizing Shakespeare and reciting it and all that. And then when I was 11, I was molested for the first time that I'm aware of in the Seattle Public Library. And after that occurred, all my creativity shut down. I became very reclusive, depressed, and I didn't understand what was going on with the depression and all that, but it stayed with me. And of course, I never talked about it. And it wasn't until I was in my 40s that I actually was able to talk about the molestation for the first time.
Well, can
and,
we stop you for one
and
second?
That was after. Sure.
I just want to ask you real
but
quick.
That was
because, I'm sorry, Joseph. I wanted to stop before you got too far in your story, and I just want to ask you one question. You know, when you said that you was molested in the library, and when I think of library, yeah, you got little cubby holes, but I think a person got to be pretty brazen to try something where people can walk around and get a book or whatever, whatever, whatever. So I don't know how this library was fixated, and I don't know what was done that you call that he molested you. I mean, what did he actually do that he got away with in the public library?
Well, if anybody's familiar with the Seattle Public Library, no, I haven't been back there since then. So I don't know if the original library is even still there, but if anyone's familiar with the original library back in the 1960s, you walk in through these glass doors, and on the right-hand side as you walk in are the librarian desk, and then you can walk straight back, and then when you get to the, if I remember correctly, I believe it was toward the end of the building, you turn right, and you go into this section, this the history section, and there's only one way in and one way out. And the history section is against the wall. So it's not another, you know, anything behind it. It's just the wall of the library. And that's where the history section was. And so I was there browsing. I remember I was looking for a book on Custer's Last Stand. And this fellow came in. You know, as I remember it, he was really big. You know, I don't know exactly how tall he was. He was a lot taller than me. And
well, you're a child, so that's expected.
Right. And so he just pretended to be, you know, browsing like I was. He kind of just edged. When you walk in, when you walk into the one entrance, you could have turned left or turned right. I was in the right half of the section, and he came in and he was kind of in the center, and then he kind of just edged himself closer and closer to me, right, pretending to be browsing for a book.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got, you know, pretty close to me, I would say a couple inches, and so there was nothing. He was between me and the exit, so there was no way out. And then he just reached over and grabbed my privates.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not hard or anything. Just,
I guess
he didn't hurt me.
Painful for you, because as an adult, you can even use the word penis, you know. So he grabbed your privates.
Right.
Okay, did he pull it out? Did he yank on it? He made you do him?
No. He just... And he didn't hurt me. I mean, he didn't grab me hard. But then he said, well, I don't remember exactly what he said, but he asked me, told me to look at him, and I just remember that he was hard, you know, through his trousers. And then he asked me to touch him, and I refused.
Yeah,
and when I refused, he left. And I remember following him out. I mean, not right away, because by the time I came out of the section and looked to my left, he was already at the door. I remember him walking past the three, there were three librarians, walking past the three librarians. And I remember thinking, why aren't they stopping him?
Because you didn't scream.
You know, in my mind, I just thought that was what I thought. And
let me ask you something quick. When you first started talking about this, you said the first time that you were molested that you can think of. Were there other times that you were molested and you blanked it out?
Well, I don't know, but something tells me I was. There was an incident with a nurse, a Navy nurse, because my dad was in the Navy, and I was maybe, I must have been like second grade, first grade. And I was going in for a penicillin shot, which they gave you in the buttocks. And I remember this nurse she said something to me. And I don't remember what she said.
You got a brown rosy cheek?
It seemed like it was something sexual.
Okay, she probably said you got a pretty pretty round ass.
Somebody,
I mean, if you would,
now somebody doesn't have to touch you to molest you, you know, when
that's
you're little
true.
Like that. You know, they can just say it and put it in your mind and you've been violated.
Okay, well, let me stop you right there.
Anyway.
Okay, now, I'm not taking nothing away from the mental scars that you got when that gentleman, I'm not even going to call him a gentleman, when that scumbag grabbed your private area. Yeah, he's not a gentleman at all. And when that lady, when she was, you know, she probably was massaging your butt to make sure that when she stuck the needle in, it didn't hurt as much.
Yeah.
They usually do that.
Yeah,
now, I know
that.
But not you're confusing what happened to that guy and with her. Is anybody who touched you as being out of order? Because not to take nothing from what you went through, when I deal with guests who say they were molested, my guests have usually been physically penetrated, raped, had to do fellatio, violated in the anus and all this stuff,
But here's the important thing I want to stress. One here is some show did a whole documentary on predatory priests in the Catholic Church.
Oh yeah.
And of all the thousands of people they interviewed. And you can imagine the horrific stories that they heard. They decided to center the program on a man who was touched one time.
Well, I believe
you would say. Why did they do that? And the reason they did that, instead of having somebody that. Well, they wanted to emphasize the fact that no matter what type of molestation it is, whether it's penetration or rape, you know, or just touch, what they were trying to emphasize to the viewers was that the devastation it wreaks on a person's life.
Well,
even
just one
touch.
I'm telling you, you're pretty lucky because some of the guests that I've had that has been raped and violated, even by family members, they went on to be promiscuous because they couldn't understand why it was happening to them, or they felt they wasn't good enough to be loved, so they kept being promiscuous. It's wrong that he grabbed you, but you made out like a bandit in the scheme of things. Am I right, ladies?
What the documentary is trying to illustrate to people is that we have a tendency to say, "Oh, he was only touched. This person here was all this stuff was done." When you say, and I'm guilty of it too. I used to refer to it like this. Oh, he was only touched. Well, there is no only. Molestation is molestation. And that's what the documentary people were trying to emphasize.
I agree with you. But like I said, you're lucky. You're absolutely lucky. If that's all somebody did, rubbed your butt and grabbed your province, you made out lucky because it could have been a whole lot worse.
But this man in the documentary who was touched one time, that was his molestation. He had been married three times. He was in his 40s. He had been married three times. He couldn't hold down a job. For your listeners out there, I think one of the most damaging aspects of molestation is the secrecy.
Minimize it.
And when when somebody is touched, maybe one time, and that's it, they tend to downplay it, which I did for many years. You know.
Okay.
I was only touched one time.
Let me just say this.
It wasn't really
they
anything.
They got a question they want to ask you, Joseph. But I'm gonna say this real quick. I don't know the damage that has scarred your young mind. I'm sure there was some damage because you know it ain't normal for no man to be touching another male person such as yourself. So I understand that it created some confusion. My confusion stems with, why the hell you scream bloody murder? Stop, stop, he grabbed me. You 11 years old. I mean, you know that's wrong. Why didn't you scream and say, stop, instead of following him out the door? I don't get that because I was screaming my head off.
Well, what have you been molested?
Hell no.
Okay. Well, that's what people who haven't been molested don't understand.
Okay.
Can I jump in for a second, Joseph, give me 1 second. This is Felicia. Let me take it for one second. Okay. I'm gonna play devil's advocate right here because I'm a survivor of not just molestation, but I was raped at 10 years old. And the first encounter with molestation that I remember was with an uncle, my mom's brother. I was 4 years old, and it was terrible what he was doing to me, putting his penis in my mouth and ejaculating in my mouth until I vomited, and he beat me across my head. I'm crying, and he making me clean up vomit, and it's crazy. So I understand what you're saying. However, Terry, because you haven't had that experience, I'm going to say this. When you're touched in a way that's inappropriate, it renders you powerless. And I'm talking about for an adult. So the damage that it does to a little child, and then you got to remember the time period. He said this is the 60s. They probably didn't even discuss those types of things in their homes because that wasn't
right.
What they would consider normal behavior. So for him to scream out for help, now if the guy grabbed him ferociously, maybe he might have. Sometimes when somebody touches you inappropriately, it catches you off guard. You're in shock. And you can't say anything.
Yeah, you're
in shock. It cripples you, and it can paralyze you because you can't believe it's happening. And then the shame and all of that stuff comes about also. I mean, and he said it. Think about it. He said he followed him, but he was watching as if he thought they were supposed to stop him, like they.
Okay, let me say this. Maybe I'm different. Let me say this real quick. A associate of my mother's was over her house, and I was there, and I was downstairs in the living room, and this man going to try to reach out and grab my breast, and I just immediately hit his hand away and said, what the hell are you doing? I said, I'm going to tell my mother. You know, and he threatened, well, if you tell your mother, then I'm going to say you was lying, and I'm going to hit you upside your head, blah, 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 blah. I ain't care, but I don't know, maybe it's my personality, because when he reached out to grab me, I just hit his hand away, and, like, I took a stance, like, yeah, and I was a child, maybe about 12 years old myself, but I wasn't going for that, you know. I mean,
but
and then I remember a time when we used to go to the store for people, they said, well, hey, I'll give you 50 cents to rent the store for me. And I went to this guy's house, and he said, okay, I'm getting the money. You know, so I'm sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting, you know. So he said, come on in the beer room, get the money. So I ain't thinking nothing strange. So when I got in there, the guy's going to try to grab me, you know, and I'm still a virgin man. I was fighting, and I was screaming. And, you know, I must have got good licking or somewhere because the guy let me go. And I ran my little happy ass out of there, and I told everybody in the neighborhood, and they all turned on him. So you might call that molestation.
Yeah.
I just thought that some asshole that I handled my business. I'm sorry,
But I get that, and it's nothing wrong with that. But what you have to remember, too, also, most of the time when people get molested, the person that usually molests them is usually somebody that they know. So this person knows this child's personality. I have 4 children, and all 4 of them have different personalities. And out of all 4 of my kids, I know which one could be molested and which one you can get away with molesting. But I got 3 of my kids. They scream just like you. They're not going for it.
They'll
test that one that seems a little bit timid, though. chosen. So they pick and choose their victims most of the time. So that's what I'm trying to help you understand where he's coming from. They pick and choose their victims. He said this is some strange guy that followed him into the library. So this guy was just cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs because obviously he didn't know the guy. This guy was just brazen, like you said. He was just brazen, like you said. But you got to think about society then and society now is completely and totally different. And those are things that you didn't just, that was like Leave It to Beaver Day. Nobody discussed that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you got to remember the time and you know the time point you know that he's talking about and you know looking at it now. And but I understand what you're saying because you have a strong personality. People gonna think twice before they come at you. Once you open your mouth, people know. Oh yeah. But if they don't know now, they know because I'm telling them. But I'm telling you, if anybody's listening to you or following you, they know that you have like Strawberry. Strawberry is pretty quiet and laid back.
Not me.
And I'm in the middle. I'm listening. But Strawberry seems like she can get it in. But it might take her a few minutes. And you just gonna pop all the way off. Me, I'm in the middle.
I know.
So I kind of, you know, we balance each other out. But just know that it comes in different forms. And whether it's one time or 100 times, the shame, the guilt.
And I want everybody to know that it's not right. Nobody
touched
you,
male or female. Inappropriate touch is wrong.
That's
I don't
right.
care if wrong. It's just a touch or if somebody take their finger and put it inside you or whatever. I mean, I hate to get that, you know.
Yeah, or kiss
you know,
on your lips,
but
or whatever is inappropriate.
Right, or with that kind of thing, it doesn't matter because if you grab me, if you touch me in an inappropriate way, when some people fly past me, I got big breath. I've had people fly past me and brush up against my boobs, and it's like,
mm-hmm.
You'll know the difference
it's
between it being an accident or somebody really trying to be funny. Because I've had to call people out. Don't pass me like that. You know you're about to hit my boobie. Don't do that because you're trying to be slick. So it makes you uncomfortable. So I can understand where he's coming from. I understand where you're coming from, too. Let me shut up now and let Strawberry talk. Okay, I did not. All right.
Please, Strawberry. You're just joking about my track.
Well, see, I've never been molested or raped, so I am a little bit quiet on the subject because I am listening. However, I will say that everybody is different and everybody reacts to different things differently. Like, for example, you know, I'm a survivor of domestic violence, so not everybody reacts after they have survived that. You know, so some people can, you know, walk away from it and be fine. Other people can't because it will definitely mess with your mind mentally because it messed with mine. So how, you know, he handled it as, you know, a youngster, I mean, that was, he did the right thing. He didn't know what to do, you know, or how Felicia handled it when she was younger, you know, that was also the right thing to do. So it's not really a wrong thing as far as handling what happened to you. You see what I'm saying? So my question actually is, whatever happened to that guy?
Yeah. Did they catch him? Did you tell anybody eventually?
Oh, no. No, I never saw him again. I mean, he just...
Exactly.
I remember he walked out the doors, and he turned left, and he had to walk up the street. There was the street was slanted. So he turned, and it was raining, and he just walked out of sight. That was the last I saw him.
Was he black or white?
White.
In the 60s, probably white, because he wasn't coming in no library in the 60s like that. Now, no black man, trust me. And that's not to be racist. No, that's not to be racist. That's just being real. Let's just be real. That question
well,
you didn't have to ask. All I had to hear was 60s. I know he wasn't black and we need. Not coming after no little kid. And I'm not trying to be racist, but are you Caucasian or black? Because I can't see you.
Caucasian.
I'm Caucasian, yeah.
Okay, so exactly. A black man ain't coming in no library in the 60s. Not no black
touching
man.
Touching a white child.
Caucasian
they know
kid.
Their ass are going to
forget about it. He might as well go ahead and get the noose itself and just let yourself see.
I know, he
will
probably look at
me
doing empty right now.
And I'm saying, and I'm, please don't get offended. I'm joking. I'm just kind of playing. I'm being humorous, okay? Well, let's make some light of it. It's not. I'm not making fun of it or anything. It is what it is. But let's just not get all tight with it.
But I think, you know, what your listeners can take away is you know, start talking about it, whether it's with a trusted friend or a therapist or you know, whoever. But I think it's important that you break the silence and you break the secrecy, and because I think that part about it, like you were saying, it's the secrecy, the shame. You feel like it's your fault, you know, and so it's just important that you do start talking about it.
Okay, and also, Joseph,
I wasn't able to,
what you went through, you let it go. I mean, you have been able to find some way to deal with that, whether it's through writing or your visits with the Virgin Mary and Mary,
well,
and Mary Magdalene.
Yes.
Don't
yes,
keep
but
blaming
I've been,
your,
I've,
your
I've,
child.
I've dealt with depression all my life, though, and I know it,
wow,
it stems from that. Because, like,
well,
I said before, that
anymore.
I was. Oh yeah, I have days where it's pretty bad, but
wow,
you know, I know how to cope with it now, and you know, so.
Well, I tell you, with that. On that note, we need to take a little small break, and when we come back, we're going to find, talk to Joseph a little bit more. And the message we're trying to get out here today is, I don't care who it is, whether somebody know you or they don't know you. If anyone touch you in that area that is private, it's out of order, tell somebody. Yell, run, scream fire, someone will come, because no one has the right to touch you, and no always mean no. So we will be right back in 2 minutes. Stay with us. And we'll be right back with Joseph.
Eventually, the truth will come out of the darkness for everyone to see.
Hello? Hey, it's Mike. Hey, how y'all doing? Oh, yeah, everything's good. It's just been really good. Sorry I haven't been there. Yeah. I forgot, but I will be there this week. Right now.
There are times in your life when your faith will be challenged.
Hey man, I want to share something with you. I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's been really wonderful to me. Don't you agree?
I feel like I'm my own God. For things that's been happening to me, I feel like I've been making those things happen.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you don't believe in God?
Well, I haven't seen it.
The truth can come in shocking form.
Who's this at my house? Oh, hell no. I know ain't nobody up in my house when I'm at work all day, going day.
Terry E. Lyle.
For the good of life, there's a price we all gotta pay. but I'll pay till I'm poor, and I still don't know what it is to have a good day. Yeah. Since everybody knows what it is that I need to do, well, do me a favor, let me worry about me, and you worry about you. Wherever I'm going, yeah. They're telling me the grass just might be greener on the other side, but I don't want to take a chance on dirt when I got grass, even though the grass has died. Oh, since everybody knows what it is that I need to do, well, do me a favor.
Trying to lighten up the mood because we don't want Joseph to be depressed and hold on to that. Because sometimes when you recount your story, it kind of brings the floodgates open, you know. And we
right.
want him to know, first of all, it's wrong if anybody touch you in your private area, tell somebody. And you know some, Joseph, you were the victim. So you got to learn how to let go. And when you're going through those moments in time where everything seems to be crowded in and you can't talk to your wife, hell, get on Facebook, inbox me, Strawberry Felicia, we'll talk to you. We'll get you out of there.
Absolutely.
Because we here for you, you know what I mean? We're trying to be funny, but it's no jokes aside. Depression took
yeah.
Robin Williams out of the gate. You know, he got depression and took himself out of here. So we don't want you to let these things in your past hinder you, because, you know, these are number life lessons that give you a testimony to help you help somebody else that's suffering and going through what they got to go through. So don't give up
that's
telling
right.
your story. Whether it's here, keep telling that story, you know, because it needs to be told. So I'm going to shut my fat
oh, yeah.
mouth and let my girls do the talking for me.
Strawberry, you go, girl. I've been talking enough.
Well, it's important people talk about it. That's all, you know.
It is.
And
it really
I wasn't able
is.
To talk about it until Mary Magdalene healed me. And that's when I just started telling everybody about it, you know. So that was a significant part of my healing.
Are you wow. religious now, because you get visited often every day, you said, by Mary Magdalene?
Well,
are you
Mary and Mary Magdalene have never come to me. But they have always come to me in a secular manner. And that's another, and very flirtatious. I call her Maggie. Maggie is very flirtatious.
Very flirtatious?
Yeah, Mary,
is that what you said?
Huh?
Flirtatious.
Yeah.
Yes,
what?
She's very flirtatious.
She's into Jesus.
And very, 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 yeah, well, that's and she's always come to me that way. And what they emphasize to me is that they don't come to me in relationship to any religion. Because
well,
they
anything
if,
about the Bible,
you,
and you prove that the Bible is real,
if you,
who's non-believers.
Well, right, but they come to me as angels. And not secular angels, no religious dogma, no religious doctrine. And if you read my books, Maggie constantly emphasizes that only love is real in the spirit world, only love. So all throughout her poems, all throughout the love notes, she's constantly referring to the labels that we have to put on people, that in this world we tend to put labels on people. We only put labels on people so we can judge them. And she's constantly emphasizing that there are no labels in spirit. There's only love.
Well, there's a lake of fire. I believe that. You don't believe that?
What's that?
I believe there's a lake of fire for the people who's going to hell. You don't believe in that?
No, there's only love. There is
oh,
no hell.
Well, we agree to disagree. No,
well, that's
there's
fine.
Always people
that's fine
got
if he
believes
that. That's
fine. Like I said, we agree to
disagree. That's what
all these evil assholes out
Maggie,
here, they got to go somewhere.
That's what Maggie tells me.
Okay, I'm not being asked. Okay, let me get this straight. So you get this, you said you get these visits, you know, every day, like a standing appointment type thing, like, and then they don't come
well,
to
she
you
wakes
in a religious way. They don't come to you in a religious way. So how do you know
no,
this
not
is
in,
indeed
not, not
Murray,
religious.
Murray and Murray Magdalene then? Because
they
come
for a lottery number, didn't call me.
Oh.
That's what I wanted.
Oh, well, because originally, and my first occurrence was with Mother Mary. And
okay, mother to baby Jesus, right?
Right. I saw
okay.
her, and she bathed me in gold and white light for about 10 minutes, And then years later, when I was hoping to have another visitation from her, I attended the workshop at the Mission San Luis Rey, at one of the 21 California missions. But that mission is known with it for its connection to Mother Mary. And that's why I took the workshop, because of that connection, thinking I could meet her again. And so I was like, I announced to my class that there wouldn't be any Saturday classes because I was attending a workshop. That's all I told them. And so I was locking up, and one of the parents came up to me and they said, "Well, why are you taking a workshop?" And just without thinking, out of my mouth came, "Oh, to meet Mary Magdalene." And I'm driving home and I'm thinking, Mary Magdalene, why did I say that? I don't have any interest in meeting her, you know. So anyway, the next morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, we started a breathing session, deep breathing session, and Mary came in, and I recognized her because I had seen her before, and she had Mary Magdalene with her, and I knew that because she told me. This is Mary Magdalene. And but it was very obvious, the time I spent with them, it was very obvious that here on this earth plane, we have a tendency, we have to have levels, right? So when you experience something like this, sometimes it's very difficult because we don't have the syntax to explain these things. But the best way I can say it is that with the time I spent with both of them together, it was very obvious to me that Mary Magdalene was the, for lack of a better word, the Mother Superior. And
Mary Magdalene was the Mother Superior and not the Virgin Mary? Is that what you just said?
That's right. And
no, how the mother of Jesus gonna take second fiddle to one of Jesus' followers? That does so make no sense.
Well, because that's the dogma and the doctrine. That's the dogma and the doctrine. And they don't come to me with any dogma or a doctrine. They come to me as angels, as spiritual beings. And but anyway, so In the December of 2012, Mary Magdalene woke me up at 2 in the morning. She had me come to my writing desk, and that's when she started passing these, what we now call the love notes for your soul. And it's at that time that she asked me, she said, "Do you mind if I call you Joseph?" Joseph is my middle name. Nobody's ever called me Joseph. And, you know, what am I going to say? No, right? So I said, "I don't mind." But then I said, "Do you mind if I call you Maggie?" And I said, "I know Maggie's not a nickname for Magdalena, but I've always liked that name. Would you mind?" And she said, "No, you can call me Maggie." So it was in December of 2012 that she started calling me Joseph. I started calling her Maggie. And then in April of the following year, so about 3 months later, I started having doubts about all this. Come on. And from those 3 months, every morning at 2 a.m., she'd get me up and these love notes would come through me. And
so,
can
I just say something real quick? Now, your financial standing in life, I know one of your things was saying how to become wealthy. Well, just the way you believe and stuff. Okay, were you financially set before you had these visits? And after you had these visits, did you have the insight to say, "Well, hey, Mary, Maggie, how about some lottery numbers or some Powerball numbers so I could be set financially?"
No.
So I could work on my
life.
No,
you
never
it doesn't work
that
way. No. It doesn't work that way.
Can you ask on my behalf? Say, "Hey, Mary, my friend Terry said." If you give me a number for next week, then I'll play that number all next week.
I never, I never thought about this.
Well, you know, when she come at 2 o'clock in the morning, think about what I just said. You know, we got about 9 minutes to wrap this up, and I want to get to the nitty-gritty of what you're trying to say. But anyway.
One of you asked me, how do I know it's Mary Magdalene? I'm going to tell you. So in April, I started having real doubts that these were coming from Mary Magdalene, that I was hallucinating, that I was just making all this stuff up. So I said to her, I said, Bush, I want something concrete that's irrefutable. Nobody can question it. That these are really coming from you. Well, a day went by and nothing happened. A week went by, nothing. A month went by, nothing. I kind of forgot about it, but every morning at 2 a.m. she was getting me up, and I was writing out these love notes. Well, in July of that year, so a few months later, she said, I want you to publish these. So I thought, publish these? Okay. So if I'm going to publish these, I better get some testimonials. So I wasn't about to give them to my friends because they would just say nice things. I wanted some honest feedback. So I went onto this website with thousands of people that offer different services like graphic design and stuff. And I wasn't about to read through all the I just started looking through the photographs of the people. And just very quickly going through the photographs, and then I came upon this one woman. I looked down. Her name is Angelina. And she didn't offer testimonials, but something told me to email her. So I emailed her, and the only thing I told her, I said, I have some poems. That's all I said. I'd like you to read them. I'll pay you for your time to read them. I'm not going to pay you for a testimonial, but if you like them and you'd like to get a testimonial, I'd appreciate it. So she wrote back and she said, no, I don't do that. Sorry. And you think I would go on to someone else. I didn't. So we went back 2 or 3 days. And finally, I think just out of exasperation, she said, okay, send me some. So now when I sent her these, that's when I told her in the email that they were from Mary Magdalene, whom I call Maggie. And so the next day I get an email from her. And she says, Joseph, I have to tell you something. Now, all I know her as is Angelina. That's all she has on her website. She says, I love these love notes, but I have to tell you this. Angelina. But when I was growing up, everybody called me by my middle name, Magdalena. And only my closest friends called me Maggie. And I thought, I remember asking her, I said, now, wait a minute. Maggie's not a nickname for Magdalena, is it? She said, no, it's not. But one of my friends called me Maggie one day, and I liked it. And only my closest friends called me Maggie. Well, a month later, she wrote me again. She says, okay, I'm going to tell you that everyone knows me as Angelina today. But when I was born, my mother wanted to call me Mary. So my birth certificate says Mary Magdalena.
Okay, well, we got to stop
and she
right
said,
here.
She said, and she sent me her passport to prove it. So that was my burning bush, Mary Magdalena, nicknamed Maggie. That's like winning the lottery, right?
But anyway, we got to stop you right there, darling, because we're running out of time here. Okay, now, I see your coincidence. You know, couldn't have been me. If I was blessed to have an angel or somebody in the heavenly realm who knows something, if they would have came to me, I would definitely say, well, look, I'm tired of the situation I'm in. Give me some insight. Where's my life? You want the Lord where my life to go, you know, and help me with my finances, make my book a movie, you know. So when she come this time at 2 o'clock, say y'all chitting, chatting, and sharing love notes. Could you say one of my friends named Terry E. Lyle said that? Could you give her a lottery ticket so she can hit the Powerball next week? Trust me,
girl, you
Mason, I'm serious. And then I'll let Strawberry Felicia know we all can get paid. If you don't want the money, we can still use it. But you know, so
that's
we gotta
right.
wrap this thing up. We gotta wrap this thing up because we're gonna get out of time. So baby, give them your website, name of your books, how much they cost, and like I'm saying, I'm very serious. When she come again, hook up a sister. Don't be stingy, because I ain't wealthy. I'm trying to get there.
Well, the website is lovenotesforyoursoul.com, and people can get my books there. If they want a, if they want an actual love note from Maggie, they can email me through the website, and there's no extra charge for that. If they want to get a signed autograph copy personally inscribed to them with a love note from Maggie, they just have to give me their name and where to send it and everything. If they want a discount on the digital copy of my most popular book, The Power of Angels, they can get that at Joseph Confidential. So there's two websites, josephconfidential.com for the discount price on the digital, and for the paperbacks, they can go to my website, lovenotesforyoursoul.com.
Hey, Joseph.
Well,
I want to thank you. Yeah, thank you, Bob. Real talk. I'm serious when I say this. You know, if you're feeling depressed, you got my phone number. You know, you can get a hold of me and Strawberry and Alicia, and that's real talk because I appreciate you, ladies. I've felt that before, and that's a lonely feeling. You feel like nobody cared, nobody would miss you if you're gone, but every life matters, and yours matters too. So you got a message, you know, and like I said, if you have Mary Magdalene coming every day at 2 o'clock, man, shoot, hook up a sister. I'm serious. I ain't trying to be funny. Man, I'll share the information to my friends. Ain't that right, lady?
Well, she's by you asking me, she's already heard it. So
Hey, Mary Magdalene, baby, I'm down here struggling along. Come on, come in my dreams and get me a nice so I know what to play.
Well, I think a lot of people have seen her. They just are scared to say so. And that's another reason why I've started writing and doing interviews, because I think a lot more people have seen angels than want to admit it. And and if you just become aware, you know.
Yeah, I think I've seen one because I know one time my car broke down in the middle of heavy traffic, and I had my grandkids in the car, and they're young, you know what I'm saying? So I put the hood up so people know don't be trying to slam it to me. And this one skinny female came over there, and now she's saying, I'm going to push you over the side of the road. I'm saying, what's she going to do? This female pushed me to the side of the road, I told the kids, get out the car, stand away, and I went to look for her and say thank you. She was gone. I didn't see her walking. I didn't see no car. She was like, poof. And I said, I said, that had to be an angel. I just said, thank you, Lord. Because that really happened, you know. So, I'm glad when I got angels looking out for me and keeping me. But we got to wrap it up. So, ladies, say goodnight, and then I'll let my guests say goodnight, and then we got to take this thing home.
Good night, and I wish you well, Joseph.
All
right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joseph. Call us if you need us. I'm telling you, you know, we're only a phone call away, and you got my number, darling.
I know. I appreciate you, ladies. That means a lot.
Love you, Joseph.
All right, good night.
Love you.
Ralph, safe out there. It's Friday.
Good night.